A Werewolf Shifter Romance Audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. 2 years earlier. The scent of rain and damp earth. It was the scent of home. His birthright. The territory his family had ruled for 5 generations. Ronan, then just 19, and a breath away from the alpha title, crouched beside his friend in the twilight shadows of the forest. "You're sure about this?" Ronan whispered, his eyes scanning the tree line. Leo, son of the neighboring alpha, nodded. His jaw was tight with a fear Ronan mistook for resolve. "I can't live under his thumb anymore, Ronan. He's a tyrant. This is my only way out. They'll think a rogue wolf got me. I'll disappear." A reckless plan, foolish, internal. The alpha in me warned him. But the friend in him had already agreed. He clasped Leo's shoulder. "Go then, be free." As Leo melted into the deeper woods, a howl tore through the valley below. It was not a greeting, not a challenge. It was an alarm, a scream of steel and pain. Cold. His blood ran cold. He launched himself down the mountainside, crashing through bracken and thorns, the scent of home gone, choked out by the coppery tang of slaughter. He saw them then, Thorn's wolves, a dozen strong descending on his family's great house not as challengers, but as exterminators. He shifted. The agony of it was nothing, nothing compared to the terror in his soul. He fought, a whirlwind of black fur and desperate rage, but for every enforcer he threw aside, 2 more took its place. He saw his father, the great Alpha, fall defending the doorway. He saw his mother, a silver-furred Luna of impossible grace, ripped down beside him. He saw the faces of his pack, his family, contorted. The battle ended as swiftly as it began. Ronan was thrown against an ancient oak, body broken, bleeding. He lay in the dirt, the world fading to a gray haze, and watched. He watched as Marcus Thorne himself stood over the body of Ronan's father. There was no grief on his face for his own lost son. Only the cold triumph of a king seizing a throne. They left him for dead, a forgotten body among the dozens that littered the ground. But he did not die. Hours later, under the cold, unfeeling gaze of the moon, Ronan dragged himself to his feet. Every part of him screamed in protest, but the pain. It was a distant thing now, a memory from another life. The boy who had helped his friend escape. The future Alpha who had dreamed of leading his people. That boy died here tonight, with his family. All that was left was a ghost. A rogue. A rogue with a death sentence, haunted by the faces of his dead and the scent of blood and pine. He turned his back on the smoking ruins of his home, on the valley of his ancestors, and melted into the darkness. No plan. No hope for justice. There was only one command now, burned into the core of his being. Survive. Chapter 1. The city glittered below, a sprawling web of light and life he could only watch, never touch. Up here, in the silent, sterile apartment that served as his prison, Ronan was a ghost. From there, he stood before the vast window, his own reflection a faint specter layered over the endless pulse of traffic. For 2 years, this was all there was. This view, this silence, this crushing weight of a life unlived. Still, it was the price he paid for breathing. His gaze swept the room, a place of sharp angles and cold leather, obsessively clean because control was the only thing he had left. If he could command the dust, maybe he could command the beast that paced inside his soul. A distant siren wailed its lonely song. To make things worse, the quiet that followed was always heavier. He sank onto the sofa and pulled out his phone. It was time for his ritual. A special kind of torment he felt he deserved. Moments later, he was scrolling the dating app, his thumb a blur of automatic rejection. A woman with bright, laughing eyes. No. A woman with a kind smile. Never. Each face was a life he could never have, a world he could never enter. The fugitive in him screamed that this was a mistake, a foolish risk in a life built entirely of risks. Yet, he continued, because the loneliness was a hollow ache that demanded to be filled with something, even if it was just the sharp sting of longing. However, his thumb stopped. Her picture wasn't perfect, it was real. She was caught mid-laugh, her head thrown back, and her eyes. They were sharp, intelligent, and held a fire that felt like the sun. Her name was Sarah. In the span of a breath, something inside him shifted. It was the wolf, dormant for so long, lifting its head at a scent it somehow knew. It was a terrifying warmth spreading through his chest, a crack in the ice he'd built around his heart. Without thinking, his fingers, clumsy and slow, tapped out a message. His heart hammered against his ribs, a frantic, panicked drumbeat. What are you doing? He was breaking every rule. He was a man with a death sentence, a monster hiding in human skin. And just like that, he was inviting the firestorm straight to his door. He hit send. The single word, delivered, glowed on the screen. He stared at it, a wave of cold panic washing over him. And then something else. A flicker of light in the endless dark. Maybe it was fate.
Chapter 2. Sarah stared at the blinking cursor on her screen, the words of her latest blog post blurring together. It was another story of City Hall corruption, another tangle of lies she was determined to unravel. Truth be told, it was easier to find passion for exposing other people's secrets than it was for finding a spark in her own life. Her phone buzzed beside her laptop, a notification from the dating app she'd downloaded on a whim. She almost swiped it away. Instead, her curiosity won. The message wasn't a clumsy pickup line. It was a question about a quote in her profile, something thoughtful and sharp. The man's name was Wren. His profile was sparse, just a single moody picture of the back of his head against the city skyline, but his words had weight. She didn't know what scared her more, the fact that she was intrigued, or the fact that she was about to reply.
The moment their eyes locked across the small coffee shop, Ronan's world tilted. It wasn't just a meeting. It was a collision. Her scent, rain on hot pavement and something impossibly sweet, flooded his senses. The wolf inside him rose up with a single, silent roar that shook him to his bones. Mine. Her name hung in the air. Wren? She asked, her voice just as warm as he'd imagined. He had to force himself to breathe, to smile. Sarah, it's good to meet you. His voice trembled. As the silence stretched, he fought to leash the predator that wanted to cross the room and claim what fate had declared was his.
He was more than his picture. So much more. He wasn't just handsome. He was a storm held in check, a shadow in a sunlit room, a story she desperately wanted to read. They talked for hours, or rather, she did. She talked about her blog, the city, her frustrations. He listened with an intensity that made her feel like the only person in the world. More importantly, he asked questions. Smart questions. He spoke carefully, his voice a low rumble that made her skin tingle. "You're very passionate about what you do," he said, his gaze so heavy she felt it like a physical touch. "It's because you believe in finding the truth, no matter how ugly." "And you?" she asked, leaning forward. "What's your story, Wren? What truth are you trying to write?" In that moment, a shadow passed over his features, a flicker of something ancient and pained. He looked away. "I'm just trying to make sense of the noise," he murmured. Deep down, she knew the truth. That wasn't the whole story. Not even close. Which meant she was already hooked. Chapter 3. 3 dates later, the mystery of Wren had only deepened. He was brilliant, attentive, and his touch, the rare times his hand brushed hers, sent a jolt of pure fire through her veins. Yet, he was a ghost. He never talked about his past, his family, or his work beyond vague statements. That night, as they walked beneath the pale glow of the streetlights, the air between them crackled with unspoken things. "I had a really nice time tonight," she said softly. Me too, he replied, his voice a low vibration that seemed to match her own pulse. Without warning, two figures stepped out from the mouth of a dark alley, blocking their path. Their grins were predatory. Their eyes were hard. Her heart skipped. Well, well, the first man sneered, his gaze sliding over Sarah. Look what we have here. You two look a little lost. Her breath caught. Before she could move, the second man reached out, his grimy hand closing around her arm. No need to be scared, sweetheart. As if pulled by a string, Ren moved.
A hand on her arm. Red. His vision filled with it. The world narrowed to that single violating touch. All the rules, all the control he'd spent 2 years building, it all shattered. The beast surged forward. He didn't think. He reacted. In the span of a breath, it was over. The man who had touched her was on the ground, groaning. His friend was thrown against the brick wall of the alley with a sickening thud, slumping to the pavement without a sound. Too fast, too brutal, too much. The space between them burned with a new, terrifying energy. He turned back to Sarah. Her face was pale, her eyes wide with shock and something else. Fear. Not of the men on the ground, but of him. Panic clawed at his throat. He had to fix this. Adrenaline, he choked out, the word tasting like ash. It's amazing what you can do when you're scared. No matter how hard she tried to school her features, he saw the truth in her eyes. She didn't believe him. Not for a second. With every heartbeat, the silence between them grew heavier, filled with the secret he had just failed to keep. Without another word, he turned and walked away, the weight of her stare like a physical blow to his back. He had to get away before she saw the real monster cowering behind the mask. And just like that, everything changed.
Chapter 4. Sarah stood frozen on the sidewalk. The echo of Ren's footsteps faded into the city's hum. Her thoughts spun. The fight in the alley. It replayed in her mind, a frantic, glitching film. The speed, the chilling efficiency, the look in his eyes. No, it wasn't just adrenaline. Deep down, she knew the truth. That was something else entirely. Something primal and dangerous. Her reporter's brain screamed at her to walk away, to write him off as trouble she didn't need. But her heart, her foolish, stubborn heart, ached with a different need, the need for answers. Because of that, she turned around. Her body moved on instinct, carrying her back towards the imposing, sterile building where Ren lived. She didn't know what scared her more, the violence she had just witnessed or the fact that she was walking right back into it. She had to know who he was. She had to understand. What followed was a silent elevator ride that felt like a descent. Each floor number lighting up, bringing her closer to a truth she wasn't sure she could handle. Moments later, she stood before his door, her knuckles hovering over the wood. Before she could move, she raised her hand to knock.
The apartment door clicked shut behind him, the sound sealing him back inside his tomb. Idiot. The word roared in his head. He had failed. After 2 years of perfect control, he had let the beast out. For her to see. Panic, cold and sharp, clawed at his insides. He had to run. Now. He needed to pack his go bag, wipe the apartment down, and disappear before she could put the pieces together. He deserved to be alone. He knew that because his presence only brought danger. Without thinking, he started moving towards the bedroom to grab his escape kit. Then, a soft knock echoed from the door. His heart stopped. It couldn't be. Her scent, faint, but it was hers. It was Sarah. In that moment, he was torn. He was a cornered animal wanting to snarl, a lonely man wanting to open the door, a condemned fugitive wanting to run. He strode to the door, his hand on the lock. Then, a sound from the hallway, heavy, booted footsteps, more than one. Without warning, a massive impact slammed against the door, shaking the entire frame. It wasn't a knock, it was an assault. The tension broke. Before either could speak, a voice, cold and devoid of mercy, came through the splintering wood. Alpha Ronin, the sentence is death and there is nowhere left to run. Chapter 5. The name hit him like a physical blow. Alpha Ronin, a name he hadn't heard in 2 years, a ghost from a life that had burned to ash. Through the peephole he could see them, three figures, broad and imposing, their faces set like stone. Enforcers. Thorn's dogs. His blood ran cold because he knew they wouldn't stop until he was dead. But he wasn't alone. Sarah. She was still on the other side of the door, frozen in the hallway. "Get away from the door!" he yelled, his voice a harsh growl. Then, it was too late. With a sound like thunder, the door splintered from its hinges and crashed inward. Sarah stumbled back with a terrified cry as the three men filed into the room. They moved with an unnatural, predatory grace. They were not human. Not entirely. The leader's eyes, cold as chips of ice, landed on Ronan before flicking to Sarah. A cruel smirk twisted his lips. "You found yourself a pet, Valerius? A shame she has to see this." As if the world narrowed, all of Ronan's choices vanished. No escape, no negotiation. There was only the innocent woman behind him, and the killers in front of him. To save the only human thing left in his life, he had to become the monster.
Time stood still. Her thoughts spun into a vortex of terror. Alpha Ronin? Sentence is death? These words didn't make sense. These men, they didn't move like normal people. They moved like hunters. Her heart hammered against her ribs so hard she felt it in her throat. She looked at Ren, at Ronan. His back was to her, but she could see the tension in his shoulders, the way he stood as if bracing against a hurricane. "Ronan, what's happening?" Her voice trembled. He didn't answer. Instead, a sound tore from his chest that made the hair on her arms stand up, a low, guttural growl that wasn't human. Her breath caught. What happened next would haunt her nightmares forever. His body contorted. A horrific symphony of snapping bones, tearing muscle, filled the silent apartment. He grew, his form twisting and elongating, dark fur sprouting across his skin. His clothes ripped away as his shape warped into something impossible, something from a dark fairy tale. And with that, everything changed. Where the man she was falling for had stood, there was now a monster, a massive black wolf the size of a small horse, its lips peeled back from dagger-like teeth. Its eyes, they were the same intelligent pained eyes she knew, but now they burned with a terrifying golden light.
Chapter 6. The world exploded, a symphony of senses. Her fear was a sharp, agonizing scent behind him. The rage of the enforcers was a hot, metallic tang in front of him. He was no longer Ronan, the man. He was the wolf, the alpha. And his territory, this small, sterile room, had been invaded. His mate was threatened. With a roar that shook the very glass in the windows, he lunged. The fight was a blur, black fur and brutal efficiency. Claws met flesh, teeth snapped. He was faster, stronger, an avatar of primal fury. Yet, there were three of them. A claw raked across his flank, sending fire down his side. He slammed one into a wall, the drywall cracking. He threw another across the room. But the third one was smart. Trying to get around him, trying to get to her. No, never. His eyes darted around the room. The shattered doorway was blocked, which meant there was only one way out. The window.
She was pressed against the far wall, her hand over her mouth to stifle her screams. She couldn't breathe. Her brain refused to process what she was seeing. The violence. It was breathtaking. A whirlwind of snarling beasts, a terrifying dance of death happening just feet away from her. The wolf, Ronan, was magnificent and terrifying. A force of nature. But he was bleeding. As if fate demanded it, the massive wolf turned its head, and its golden eyes locked on hers for a fraction of a second. In them, she saw not just rage, but a desperate, intelligent plea. Before she could even guess what he intended, he launched his body sideways, not at an enemy, but at the massive panoramic window. The glass exploded outward in a shower of glittering shards. The cold night air rushed in, a shocking slap of reality. Between one breath and the next, he was at her side. Her world tilted as a form that was no longer fully wolf, but not yet fully man, a terrifying shape of a shifting nightmare, grabbed her arm. His grip was iron. "Come on!" A voice that was half growl, half human command, ripped through the air. Her body moved on instinct. He pulled her through the shattered frame and onto a narrow fire escape 40 stories above the street. Wind whipped her hair. City lights swam below. Soon after, the enforcers were coming through the window behind them. Without another word, he pulled her into a desperate run, their feet clanging on the metal steps as they scrambled into the night, leaving her old life shattered in the room behind them. Chapter 7. The city was a blur. Smeared neon and cold, wet pavement. Her lungs burned. Every shadow seemed to hold a new threat. Every distant siren felt like it was for them. Beside her, Ronan stumbled, a dark shape of pain held together by sheer will. He was no longer the massive wolf, but he wasn't fully the man she knew either. He was something in between, something wounded and desperate. He led them away from the glittering downtown core and into the city's forgotten edges, a place of peeling paint and flickering lights. Eventually, he stopped before a grimy motel, its sign buzzing like a dying insect. "In here," he rasped, his voice raw. The room smelled of mildew and stale regret. The moment the door clicked shut, the adrenaline that had carried Sarah for miles finally crashed, leaving her shaking and cold. She stared at the man, the creature, who had turned her life inside out. His shirt was shredded, matted with blood from a deep gush on his side. "Who are you?" she whispered, her voice trembling. "What are you?" Deep down, she knew the truth was going to break her.
He leaned against the door, the cheap wood cool against his burning skin. Her question hung in the air, heavy and sharp. He owed her this. He owed her the truth, because he had dragged her into his hell. "My name is Ronan Valerius," he began, the name feeling foreign on his tongue. "I am what you saw, a shifter. A werewolf." So he told her everything. He spoke of his pack, the Silvermoon pack, and how they were slaughtered. He spoke of Marcus Thorne, the rival alpha who framed him for a crime he didn't commit to justify the massacre. He explained the death sentence that had hunted him for 2 years. With every heartbeat, he watched her face, expecting to see revulsion, expecting her to run screaming from the room. Because of that, he braced himself for the end. However, he told her the last part. The hardest part. "The reason I couldn't stay away from you, the reason I broke every rule to meet you, is because our kind has something. A bond. It's fate. My wolf recognized you the moment I saw you." He finally looked her in the eyes, his own filled with a despair she couldn't possibly understand. "You're my mate, Sarah." Her world tilted. And in the quiet that followed, he offered her the only thing he had left. "You need to leave. Run from here and never look back. Forget you ever met me." Her chest ached, but not from fear. It was something else entirely. Something fierce.
Chapter 8. Mate. The word echoed in the silent, dingy room. Insane. Impossible. It felt like a cage snapping shut around her heart. Was this some kind of supernatural trick? A way to explain away the madness? Her thoughts spun. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't reconcile the gentle, intelligent man from the coffee shop with the blood-soaked creature leaning against the door. But then he groaned, a low sound of pure agony, and slid down the door to the floor, his hand clutching the bleeding wound on his side. In that moment, something inside her shifted. The reporter, the victim, the terrified woman. They all fell away. All she saw was him, broken, in pain. As if pulled by a string, she moved. "Don't," she whispered, kneeling beside him. "Don't move." She left him there, her heart pounding, and ran to the all-night convenience store across the street. Moments later, she returned with a cheap first aid kit, her hands shaking as she opened it. The air changed with the sharp scent of antiseptic and the coppery smell of his blood.
He watched her through a haze of pain, She was kneeling in front of him, her expression a mixture of fear and fierce determination. He should have pushed her away. He should have growled, shown her the monster, and scared her off for her own good. But he was too weak. Instead, he felt the gentle, hesitant touch of her hands as she carefully cut away the shredded fabric of his shirt. As fire bloomed beneath her skin, her fingers grazed his fever-hot skin, and a low rumble started in his chest. A purr. He bit it back, ashamed. He was a killer, a beast, a forgotten nightmare, and she was treating him with a kindness that felt like a prayer. "This is going to sting," she murmured, her voice soft. When the antiseptic wipe touched the raw edges of the wound, he couldn't stop the hiss of pain that escaped his lips. "Shh, I know," she whispered, her face close to his. "I've got you. Just hold still." Under the weight of his stare, she never flinched. She just worked, her touch surprisingly steady. And he let her. He let her see him shattered. And in return, she was putting him back together, piece by piece. The space between them burned, not with fear, but with something new, something dangerously tender.
Chapter 9. Come morning, the storm of the night before had passed, leaving a strange, tense calm in its wake. Ronan was asleep on the lumpy bed, his breathing deep and even for the first time. The bandages she'd wrapped around his torso were a stark white against his tanned skin. Looking at him now, the monster was gone, and only the wounded man remained. And Sarah Rossi had never been one to walk away from a story. Or a fight. When he woke, she was sitting in the room's single rickety chair, her laptop open. Her voice was steady, all trace of the previous night's terror gone, replaced by a cold resolve. "Running is not a plan," she stated. "It's a slow death. We're not going to do it." Ronan sat up, his movements stiff. "Sarah, you don't understand." "No, you don't understand," she cut in, her eyes flashing. "This man, Thorn, his power isn't just his claws and teeth. You said it yourself. He's a CEO. He has a human empire. That's a world I know how to fight in." Between them, something cracked. The old dynamic of him being the all-powerful protector. "We can't win by fighting in the shadows," she insisted, her voice gaining strength. "So, we have to drag him into the light. My light."
He listened, stunned. He had expected her to be gone. Instead, she was here. Planning a war. A part of him, the Alpha, screamed that this was too dangerous, that it was his job to hide her, not let her march into battle. But the man was in awe of her. He saw the fire in her, the same fire that had drawn him to her profile, and knew she was right. "So," he nodded slowly. "What do we do?" Her fingers flew across the keyboard. "We start with his money. Power like his always has a dirty trail." For hours they worked. He watched over her shoulder, answering her questions about Thorne's known associates and front companies. She was brilliant. She navigated firewalls and encrypted files with a speed that left him breathless. She found it. "Got you," she whispered, a triumphant smirk on her face. It was a thread. A single, anomalous shipping manifest routed through a shell corporation. It was small, but it was a start. Her heart skipped. Before the words left her lips to celebrate, a piercing alarm blared from her laptop's speakers. Red text flashed across the screen. "System alert. Unauthorized access detected. Location trace initiated." They looked at each other, the triumph draining away, replaced by ice-cold dread. They weren't hunting anymore. They were being hunted. Chapter 10. The electronic shriek from the laptop was worse than any howl. "Location trace initiated." Red letters burned on the screen. Panic, hot and absolute. "Pack, now," he snarled, slamming the laptop shut. The time for strategy was over. Only survival mattered. Sarah flinched. "Wait, Ronan. A trace takes time." "We don't have time." He grabbed her arm, his grip harder than he intended. His only thought was to get her away, to hide her, to wrap her in shadows where nothing could touch her. He had let her get too close to the fire, and now he could smell the smoke. They fled into the night again, a frantic scramble through alleys and backstreets until he found another sad, anonymous motel room. The moment the door was bolted, the fragile trust they had built began to fray. He rounded on her. "No more. No more laptop, no more sources. You are done." He said it because he was terrified. He was terrified of losing her, of seeing her hurt, of failing her like he had failed everyone else.
His words hit her like a slap. After everything, after she had shown him she could fight, he was trying to put her in a cage. Her fear instantly hardened into a defiant anger. "Done? Are you kidding me?" she shot back, her voice rising. "We are closer than ever, and you want to lock me in a room? I am not a damsel, Ronan. I am not a possession to be hidden away. I am your partner in this." "You are my weakness," he roared, his golden eyes blazing with a desperate light. "Don't you understand? Thorn won't play fair. He will come after you to get to me." "So we fight him together," she cried. "My brain is a weapon, just as much as your claws are. You have to trust me." As the silence stretched, she saw the war raging inside him. He was not just a protector. He was a desperate man, a lonely soul, a broken king. She saw him fighting his every instinct, which screamed at him to lock her away from the world. Eventually, his shoulders slumped. The fire in his eyes banked into a smoldering ache. "I do trust you, Sarah," he whispered, and the confession sounded like it was physically torn from him. "That's what terrifies me." In that moment, she knew their partnership was real, forged not in safety, but in the heart of the storm. Chapter 11. Days later, the tension was a living thing in their small room. They moved like ghosts, always watching the windows, always listening. Hiding was a slow poison. So Sarah made a new plan, a bolder one. "He's hunting us in the dark," she said one evening, her laptop open before her. Ronan stiffened from his position by the window. "He thinks we're still running. So, we're going to do the last thing he expects. We're going to turn on all the lights." Before he could protest, her fingers began to fly across the keyboard. This was her battlefield. The cursor was her sword, the code, her armor. She took all the evidence she'd gathered, the shell corporations, the illegal manifests, the money laundering trails, and she wove it into a story of corruption, greed, and a powerful CEO named Marcus Thorn. Then, with her heart pounding a frantic rhythm against her ribs, she hit publish. What followed was an explosion. Her blog post didn't just make a ripple. It was a tsunami. It was picked up by a small news aggregator, then a larger one. By the next morning, it was everywhere. Her name, Sarah Rossi, was on the lips of news anchors. Her face was on every screen. She was no longer just a blogger. She was a witness, a whistleblower, a target.
He watched the news report on the small motel television, his blood turning to ice. Her face, her name. He felt a surge of immense pride so powerful it almost brought him to his knees. She was magnificent. She was brilliant. She had single-handedly crippled Thorn's human empire with nothing but words and courage, and it was the most terrifying thing he had ever seen. She wasn't a secret anymore. She was a headline. He had tried to hide her from his world, but she had just dragged his greatest enemy into hers, exposing him for all of humanity to see. The stakes had just changed entirely. Truth be told, there was no more hiding. Not for her. Not for him. Not only that, but he knew Thorne's response would not be a press conference. It would be blood. He looked at Sarah, who was watching the screen with a look of grim satisfaction, and he felt the bond between them pulse, a clear, sharp signal of the danger that was now hurtling towards them.
Chapter 12. The fallout was immediate and catastrophic for Thorn. News helicopters swarmed his corporate headquarters. Federal investigators were seen carrying out boxes of files. His company's stock plummeted. They had cut off the head of the snake in the human world. For a single, breathless day, it felt like victory. That night, an email arrived. It wasn't from a news source or a reporter. The sender address was encrypted, but the message itself was terrifyingly simple. It was just a few lines of text. "You write beautiful stories, Ms. Rossi, but you've made a mistake. You took something of mine." Sarah's breath caught. She read the next line, and her blood ran cold. "So, I will take what is yours. Tell the Alpha I am coming for my mate." Her thoughts spun. My mate. Thorn knew. He didn't just see her as Ronan's accomplice. He saw her as Ronan's possession. He was turning this into a primal challenge. This was a plot twist she had never seen coming.
He read the email over her shoulder, and the fragile calm he had cultivated shattered into a million pieces. A low, rumbling growl rose in his throat before he could stop it. It was not a sound of the wounded man. It was the sound of the Alpha whose mate had been directly threatened. All the promises he'd made to trust her, to be a partner, they evaporated in a wave of pure, possessive fury. This was no longer about his past, his redemption, or the crime he'd been framed for. To make things worse, Thorn had made it about her. The time for hiding was over. The time for strategy was over. He looked at Sarah, at the fear and defiance warring in her beautiful eyes. He saw not a liability, but the entire reason for his existence. With a single glance, he knew what he had to do. Between one breath and the next, he was no longer a fugitive. He was a hunter. "He's not just coming for a rogue wolf anymore," Ronan said, his voice a low, dangerous promise. "He's coming. For us. And they would be ready for him." Chapter 13. The motel room, once a temporary shield, now felt like a cage. The air was charged with the ghost of Thorn's threat, a poison that had seeped through the screen and into his soul. The fugitive part of him, the part that had survived for 2 years on fear and caution, was finally dead. In its place, something far older and more dangerous had awakened. He had to be the monster now, because that was the only way to protect the woman who had become his world. He turned to Sarah, his eyes burning with a new cold fire. "He's not going to hunt us in the shadows anymore. He's declared war." "I know," she said, her voice quiet but firm. Her fear was a scent in the air, but beneath it was a foundation of steel he had come to admire more than life itself. "So we don't wait for him to find us," Ronan continued, the words feeling right, feeling powerful. "We don't run. We choose the battlefield. We end this. Tonight." He saw not a flicker of hesitation in her gaze, only resolve, which meant she was either the bravest person he had ever known, or she was as broken as he was.
Deep down, she knew the truth. This was the only way. She saw the change in him. The haunted, hunted man was gone, replaced by a terrifyingly focused Alpha. He was a weapon ready to be fired, and she would be the one to aim him. She opened her laptop. "If we're choosing the place, it needs to be somewhere with no civilians. Somewhere with cover, choke points. Somewhere we can control." Her fingers danced across the keys, pulling up satellite maps and city blueprints. For a while, the only sounds were her typing and his quiet, rhythmic breathing. He stood behind her, a warm, solid presence that calmed the frantic beating of her heart. This was their new normal, a partnership forged in chaos, a love story written in code and strategy. Eventually, she found it. An abandoned industrial complex on the city's fringe, a labyrinth of rust and shadows, a place for ghosts and monsters to have their war. "There," she said, pointing to the screen. "That's where we make our stand." Without another word, they packed their few belongings. They left the motel key on the counter and stepped out into the night. Beneath the moonlight, they were no longer running from the past. As if fate demanded it, they were marching toward their future or their end. Chapter 14. The abandoned complex was even more desolate up close. Rust and decay hung heavy in the air, a metallic tang that coated her tongue. The wind moaned through broken window panes, making the shadows dance. Ronan moved through the darkness with a liquid grace that was utterly inhuman, his senses on high alert. From her perch on a high metal gantry, Sarah had a bird's-eye view of the main warehouse floor. It was a kill box. "I'm in position," she whispered into the small radio they'd bought. "Anything?" "They're coming," his voice rumbled back, a vibration of pure certainty. Sure enough, moments later, headlights cut through the gloom. A heavy black SUV rolled to a stop, and men spilled out. Not three this time, but seven. All of them moved with the same predatory stillness as the enforcers from the apartment. Her heart skipped. "Seven of them, Ronan. They're spreading out." "I see them." His voice was unnervingly calm. "Just tell me where to go." What followed was a terrifying, violent ballet. She was his eyes, his strategist. He was her sword, her fury. "Two on your left, taking cover behind the old machinery," she hissed into the radio. As if summoned, he was a blur of motion, a shadow detaching from the darkness.
He moved left because she told him to. The world was a symphony of hostile scents and sounds, but her voice in his ear was a clear, steady signal cutting through the noise. He was not just a mindless beast anymore. He was a soldier following the orders of his commander. He took down the first two before they even knew he was there. A silent, brutal takedown, as much about speed as it was about strength. "Behind you, to the right," Sarah's voice crackled. He spun, meeting the charge of another enforcer with a low growl, his claws tearing through flesh. He fought with a clarity he'd never known. He was not just a killer. He was a protector, a guardian, a weapon wielded by the woman he loved. One by one, they fell. It was a testament to their trust, a perfect fusion of her mind and his might. The quiet after the fight was deafening, the air heavy with the smell of blood. They had won. They had actually won the first battle. And then, a clap. Slow, mocking. It echoed from the far end of the warehouse. A single figure stepped out of the shadows. Marcus Thorne. "Bravo," Thorne drawled, his voice dripping with condescending amusement. "Truly impressive, but the opening act is over." Chapter 15. The moment their eyes locked, the world narrowed to the space between them. A low growl rose in her throat. Or maybe it was his. With his scent in the air, a toxic mix of arrogance and power, Ronan felt the last of his human restraint burn away. "Sarah, stay back," he commanded into the radio, his voice a low rumble of warning. This was not for her. This was between alphas. Thorne laughed, a sharp, unpleasant sound. "Always so protective. You see, this is your weakness, Valerius. You need a human to do your thinking for you. When I'm done with you, I'll show her what a real leader can do." That was it. With a roar of pure fury, he launched himself across the warehouse floor. The clash was titanic. A storm of fur and claws. A whirlwind of snarling rage. The sounds of their battle echoed off the high metal ceilings. The shriek of claws on concrete. The wet thud of bodies colliding. The guttural snarls of two kings fighting for a single kingdom. But Ronan was stronger. He was fueled by something Thorne could never understand. A love so fierce it was a weapon in itself. He was winning. He slammed Thorne against a support pillar, pinning him, his teeth inches from Thorne's throat.
Her breath caught. He was doing it. Ronan was winning. From her perch, she watched with a mixture of terror and savage pride. He was magnificent, a righteous storm of fury. However, something gleamed in Thorne's hand. Even so, Ronan didn't see it in time. Thorne, with a desperate snarl, twisted and drove something upward. It wasn't just a knife. The blade shone with a sick, pale light that seemed to drink the darkness from the air. Silver. Before she could even scream a warning, Thorne plunged the blade deep into Ronan's shoulder. A howl of pure, unadulterated agony ripped through the warehouse, a sound so full of pain it shattered her heart. She watched in horror as smoke began to curl from the wound, as if the silver were burning him from the inside out. Ronan stumbled back, his powerful form flickering, his strength draining away like water from a sieve. He fell to one knee. The tension broke. Thorn stood over him, the silver knife dripping, a triumphant, bloody sneer on his face. "The thing about old bloodlines, Valerius," Thorn spat, "is that they always fall."
Chapter 16. White-hot agony. It was not a clean cut. It was poison. The silver blade sizzled in his flesh, a searing, unholy fire that severed his connection to the wolf, his strength, his healing. It all vanished in a puff of acrid smoke. He could feel the metal burning through muscle and sinew, a venom that sought his very soul. A guttural howl of pure torment was ripped from his throat, a sound he hadn't made since the night his world ended. He stumbled back, his powerful legs trembling, the world tilting into a gray, hazy nightmare. Thorn's laugh was a sharp, ugly thing. "See? So fragile. So easy to break. You wear the title of Alpha, but you are just an animal in a cage of your own making." With every heartbeat, the poison spread. He tried to draw on his strength, but there was nothing there. Just a hollow, burning void where his power used to be. He was helpless.
From her perch on the gantry, she saw it all. The pale gleam of the knife, the smoke, the sound of Ronan's agonized scream. It was a physical blow that knocked the air from her lungs. He was down. The Alpha was down. Her protector, her monster, her hope, was crumbling before her eyes. Her thoughts spun. The plan had failed. Brute force had failed. Which meant it was her turn. Her eyes darted around the dark, cavernous space. Above Thorn, a heavy industrial chain hoist hung from a rusted I-beam, its thick links dangling like a steel serpent. It was directly over a stack of corroded oil drums. During their setup, she had noted it as a potential hazard. A potential weapon. Her body moved on instinct. She wasn't a warrior. She wasn't a wolf. But she was a fighter. And she would not let him die. As Thorn raised the silver knife for the killing blow, Sarah lunged for the hoist's release lever. It was old and stiff. She threw her entire body weight against it. With a deafening shriek of protesting metal, the lock gave way. The chain, thick as her arm, plummeted from the ceiling. It didn't hit Thorn, but the chaos, the sound, the sheer surprise of it was enough. Thorn leaped back with a startled curse, his head snapping up to find the source, and his furious eyes landed directly on her. Chapter 17. The moment their eyes locked, she knew she had made a fatal error. She hadn't saved Ronan. She had just changed the target. Thorn's face twisted into a mask of pure rage. "You!" he snarled. Before she could move, he was scrambling up a nearby service ladder with an unnatural fluid speed that defied gravity. She turned to run, her boots slipping on the grated floor of the gentry. The exit was too far. He was too fast. In the span of a breath, he was there. His hand clamped down on her arm, his grip like a vice. His scent was wrong. Not the earthy pine and rain smell of Ronan, but something cloying and corrupt, like rot covered by expensive cologne. "A clever little human," he hissed into her ear. "Let's see how clever you are now." He dragged her to the edge of the gantry, the long drop to the concrete floor yawning below her. Her stomach plummeted. He held her in front of him, a human shield, her feet dangling over the abyss.
"Valerius,"
Thorn's voice boomed through the warehouse, echoing off the metal walls.
"A new deal."
He was on the ground, his body a universe of pain. The silver poison was crawling through his veins, turning his strength to ash. He could barely keep his head up. But then, he heard her cry of fear, and he forced his eyes open. He saw them, high above. Thorn holding Sarah over the edge. The sight was a blade far sharper than the one in his shoulder. It was his greatest failure, his worst nightmare, his deepest shame, all made real at once. He had failed. His strength had meant nothing. "The game has changed," Thorn shouted, his voice laced with triumphant cruelty. "Your life, for hers. A simple trade. The Alpha for his mate. Surrender to me now, or I let her drop." He knew Thorn wasn't bluffing, because he saw the cold, dead certainty in the rival Alpha's eyes. He had to choose between his life and his reason for living, between a meaningless survival and the soul of his world. As the silence roared, he was checkmated, he was beaten, and Sarah was going to die because of him. Chapter 18. He lay broken on the cold concrete floor, the smell of his own smoldering flesh filling his nostrils. The pain from the silver was a distant roar, drowned out by the silent scream of his own failure. He saw it all then, a cruel montage of his life's mistakes. He saw Leo's terrified face in the woods, a friend he had tried to save, and instead had doomed. He saw the eyes of his pack, their faces accusing him in their final moments. He saw the ghost of the young girl, Amara, a promise he could not keep. Every path he had ever taken, every choice he had ever made, had led to this, to her, to him watching her die. He had tried to be a man for her. He had tried to be a monster for her, and he had failed at being both. He was not a protector, he was a curse, a plague of violence and death that destroyed everything he ever dared to love. Deep down, he knew the truth. The only loving, noble act he had left was to die. By giving up, by surrendering his life, he could save hers. It was the only trade that mattered. He looked up one last time, meeting Sarah's terrified gaze, and he let go. He stopped fighting the poison. He stopped trying to heal. He surrendered his body to the agony, his spirit to the despair. His muscles went slack. He closed his eyes, a silent message to Thorn. You win. His voice was barely a whisper, a broken sound in the vast, echoing silence. Sarah. It was a final, hopeless goodbye, but in the quiet that followed, another sound cut through his despair. It wasn't a scream of terror. It was a shout of pure, defiant rage. Ronan! Her voice. It was not the voice of a victim. It was the roar of a queen. And it was the only thing that could have pulled him back from the abyss. Chapter 19. Despair was a cold, quiet ocean, and he was sinking into its depths. His surrender was a final, bitter piece. He was ready for the end. But then, her voice. Ronan. It wasn't a scream of terror. It was a roar, a command, a defiant call to arms that shattered the silence and struck him like lightning. In that moment, something inside him, something deeper than the silver's poison, answered. He had been so wrong. He'd thought he had to choose to be the gentle man for her or the savage monster for her. But she wasn't calling for either one. She was calling for him, for the alpha who was both. As if fate whispered a new truth, he realized his worth wasn't in hiding the wolf. It was in wielding its strength with the human heart she had chosen to love. The pain was still a roaring fire, a venom that screamed for him to die. Yet her voice was a tidal wave, rushing in to quench the flames. A new strength, born not of muscle but of pure, unwavering purpose, surged through him. He had to live. Not just for himself, but for the queen on the gantry who had just roared for her king.
She saw the change. One moment, he was a broken figure on the floor, his light extinguished. The next, a flicker. Beneath the moonlight that streamed through the broken roof, she saw his head lift. His golden eyes found hers across the vast, dark space, and the despair in them was gone. In its place was a fire she recognized, the same fire she'd seen when he'd first looked at her in that coffee shop. The fire of an alpha. Thorn, momentarily distracted by her shout, turned back to Ronan with a sneer. What's this? Still fighting? For her? Before the words left his lips, Ronan began to move. It wasn't a recovery. It was a resurrection. He planted a hand on the grimy concrete, his muscles straining against the silver's corrosive power. No matter how hard he tried to hide the agony, she could see it in the taut lines of his body. Even so, he pushed himself up. Not to his feet, not yet, but onto one knee. He looked at Thorn, and the air in the warehouse grew heavy, charged with a new promise, the promise of a fight that was not yet over.
Chapter 20. His mind was suddenly terrifyingly clear. The pain was a secondary concern now, a dull roar beneath the sharp focus of his new resolve. He couldn't beat Thorn with strength alone. The silver had stolen that from him, which meant he had to use his head. He had to use their head. His gaze swept the warehouse, his alpha senses no longer just a weapon of fury, but a tool for tactical thought. He saw it then. The West Beam. A massive steel support directly above Thorn, its base already damaged from the earlier fight. It was a long shot. A crazy, desperate chance. But it was the only one they had. His hand went to the small radio clipped to his torn pants. It crackled to life. His voice was a raw, strained whisper. Sarah. The West Beam. Above him. The anchor point on the Gentry. If you can cause a vibration, anything. He didn't need to finish. He knew she would understand. Because of that, he put all his faith in her.
His voice, weak but steady in her ear, was the most beautiful sound she had ever heard. The West Beam. She saw it instantly. It was a mad plan, but it was their plan. She had to trust him, because trust was the only weapon they had left. Her eyes scanned the Gentry around her. What could she use? Loose debris? Nothing heavy enough. She scrambled further down the metal walkway, her heart pounding. And then, she saw it. A heavy steel maintenance pipe, about 5 feet long, left forgotten against a railing. It was perfect. It would be heavy. With every heartbeat, she knew Thorn could look up at any second. He was too busy laughing at Ronan's slow, agonizing attempt to stand. "It's over, Valerius," he taunted. "Just die." Meanwhile, Sarah wrapped her hands around the cold, rough steel of the pipe. It was heavier than she expected. She dragged it to the edge, positioning it directly over the beam's anchor point. Taking a deep breath, she braced herself, a silent prayer on her lips. Under the weight of his stare, she heaved the pipe over the railing. For a moment, it hung in the air, a dark pendulum swinging toward their last hope. Chapter 21. The pipe struck the anchor point with a deafening clang that echoed through the entire warehouse. It wasn't a massive explosion. Rather, it was a jarring, shuddering impact, a deep groan that vibrated up through the soles of her feet. A shower of rust and concrete dust rained down from the ceiling. Thorn looked up, his taunting laughter dying in his throat. Confusion, then alarm, flashed across his face as he saw a crack spread like a black spider web from the point of impact. The moan of stressed metal was their only warning. A section of the roof, along with the heavy support beam, gave way. It didn't fall on Thorn. Instead, it crashed to the ground in front of him, creating a wall of twisted steel and shattered concrete. It kicked up a massive cloud of dust, separating him from Ronan, and more importantly, cutting off his path to her on the gantry. The dust was a curtain. The falling debris was a shield. The chaos was their opportunity.
He used the chaos. The moment the dust cloud erupted, he acted. While Thorn was disoriented, distracted by the collapse, Ronan reached up to his shoulder. His fingers closed around the hilt of the silver knife. As if pulled by a string, he yanked the blade from his own flesh with a roar of pure agony and defiance. The searing pain was immense. But it was a cleansing fire. He was removing the poison himself. He threw the cursed blade aside where it clattered uselessly against the concrete. He was still wounded, he was still bleeding, but he was whole. Man and wolf united by a single unwavering purpose. By the time the dust began to settle, he was on his feet. He stood tall, not with the arrogance of an alpha, but with the unshakable resolve of a man who had walked through hell and chosen to come back. On the other side of the wreckage, Thorn turned, his eyes wide with disbelief. The final one-on-one showdown was now set. As their eyes locked across the ruined space, there were no more words needed. Only an end. Chapter 22. In the quiet that followed the collapse, dust motes danced in the slivers of moonlight. The air was filled with the scent of ozone and shattered concrete. Across the wreckage, Thorn rose. His face a mask of disbelief and fury. The time for strategy was over. The time for running was a distant memory. All that was left was the end. He took a step forward, The pain from the silver wound was a dull, throbbing echo, but his mind was sharp, clear as a winter sky. He was not a beast blinded by rage, he was a predator with a purpose. He was not a man crippled by fear, he was a king fighting for his entire world. And his world was watching from the gantry above. Thorn lunged, a roar of pure frustration tearing from his throat. Yet Ronan was ready. He met the charge not with equal brute force but with a calculated grace. He sidestepped, using Thorn's own momentum to send him crashing into a pile of debris. This was different. He was different.
She watched from above, her heart a frantic drum against her ribs. But her fear was mingled with a fierce, breathtaking awe. This wasn't the out-of-control monster from the apartment, nor was it the despairing fugitive from the motel. This was Ronan. Whole. He moved with the strength of the wolf, but the mind of the man she loved. He wasn't just fighting, he was dismantling Thorn. He used his environment, his speed, his intelligence. It was a brutal, tactical ballet. Thorn was powerful, a storm of fury and entitlement. Yet Ronan was the eye of the hurricane, calm, focused, and utterly lethal. She felt it, clear as day. This was the alpha he was always meant to be. He ducked under a wild swing, hooked his claws into Thorn's leg, and brought the larger man down with a sickening crunch. He pinned him, his face inches from Thorn's, a low growl rumbling in his chest. More importantly, his eyes were not wild. They were clear. In that moment, she knew. The monster hadn't won. The man hadn't won. Ronan had. Chapter 23. The fight was over. Thorn lay broken and unconscious on the floor. In the sudden, ringing silence, the only sound was the ragged panting of the man, the Alpha, who stood victorious over his fallen enemy. And then his golden eyes lifted, finding hers across the ruined space. The raw fury was gone, replaced by a look of such profound, aching relief that it stole her breath. He started towards the gantry. Her body moved on instinct. She scrambled down the service ladder, not waiting for him. She met him on the ground floor, launching herself into his arms. He wrapped them around her, holding her so tightly she felt her feet leave the floor. She buried her face in his chest, inhaling his scent of cedar and rain and victory. He was real. He was safe. They were safe. "You're hurt," she whispered, pulling back to look at the still smoking silver wound on his shoulder. "It's nothing," he rasped, his voice thick with emotion. He reached out, his thumb gently brushing a smudge of dirt from her cheek. "Are you okay?" "I am now," she said, her voice trembling.
Holding her was the only thing that mattered. The pain, the exhaustion, the years of running, it all faded away, replaced by the solid, warm reality of her in his arms. She was his anchor, his North Star, his home. After that, they had to decide what to do. Killing Thorn in cold blood was not their way. That was his way. "The authorities are already dismantling his empire," Sarah said, as if reading his thoughts. "Let them have what's left of him. It's a fitting end for a man who only cared about human power." As if summoned, the distant wail of sirens began to cut through the night. It was time to disappear. For good. As he took her hand, he felt the phantom tingle of the mark on his soul, no longer a brand of a fugitive but the proud crest of a pack. A pack of two. He gave the wreckage one last look, then turned away from the ruin of his past. Together, they walked out of the warehouse and disappeared into the shadows, leaving the monsters to be dealt with by men.
Chapter 24. 6 months later. The cabin smelled of cedar wood and brewing coffee. Sunlight streamed through the large window, illuminating the dust motes dancing in the air. Outside, a vast, placid lake mirrored the clear blue sky. It was quiet, a peaceful, healing kind of quiet she had never known. Her fingers rested on her keyboard, but she wasn't writing about corruption or secrets anymore. She was writing a story, a love story, about a monster who was also a king. She looked across the room. Ronan sat in an old armchair, a thick book resting in his lap, his brow furrowed in concentration. The haunted, hunted look was gone from his eyes. He was calm. He was present. He was at peace. That night in the warehouse seemed like a lifetime ago. He must have felt her gaze because he looked up, and a slow, warm smile spread across his face. The space between them burned, not with tension, but with a deep, steady warmth. "What is it?" he asked, his voice a gentle rumble. "Nothing," she said, smiling back. "Everything."
He watched her turn back to her writing, the sunlight catching in her hair. This was it. This was the future he never thought he'd have. It wasn't a kingdom, or a territory, or a great house. It was a small wooden cabin, the smell of coffee, and the quiet presence of the woman who was the soul of his world. He got up and walked over to her, wrapping his arms around her from behind. He rested his chin on her shoulder, breathing in her scent. "Have you heard anything?" he murmured into her hair. "About Amara?" "I put some feelers out through a few online groups," she answered, leaning back against him. "It's a long shot, but we'll find her. We'll bring her home." The word hung in the air. Home. He was no longer an alpha in hiding, and she was no longer just a reporter. They were survivors. They were partners. They were a pack. And their story was just beginning.
Thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content just like this waiting for you on our channel. So why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.